First of all, I'd like you to be in prayer. I'm going to go to Hot Springs this weekend, so please be in prayer with regard to the group there. I haven't heard from Peggy Reynolds. The funeral was today for her mother, and I couldn't find out where it was or anything for us to send some flowers. I like to do that, but I couldn't find out anything, so we'll just have to give her our respects when she gets back at the promotion of her mother. So please bear that in mind. Anything else come up? We need to be in prayer. I have a letter here. I'd like you to be in prayer for this lady. Her name is Katie Powell. She listens to our tapes and considers herself part of this assembly in that sense and teaches off of the tapes a group of ladies. And she sent me a letter, and I want to read it to you. It says, "Dear Herman, I don't know what I would have done without your teaching the last few months. I am so encouraged. I see the reason for many of my trials now that I am teaching hurting people. Hurting people are condemned by churches and Christian people that it makes me nauseated. Some of the greatest pain in my own life has been at the hands of self-righteous, pious, ignorant Christians. Imagine what druggies and alcoholics feel." This is the group of ladies she's teaching. "Imagine what druggies and alcoholics feel if I have felt neglected and rejected when I am at least in the church crowd. I have always known that my ministry was not in Sunday school or with," and she puts it in quotes, "normal people. But I always thought it was on a foreign mission field." Now, she says, you know some of how I have grieved because of missing out on that ministry by not being a foreign missionary. Now I realize that there is a foreign world right here in America. I have always gone for the hurting people and helpless, and never enjoyed socializing with regular people. I started out my career working with those with leprosy, and a long time ago she went on a mission field and worked with the leper group. I think it was in an island off of Hawaii. So that's where she was for a while. I will never get over leaving there, and because of the mission atmosphere. And then she goes on and says some other things. But be in prayer, as she has a lot of her own personal battles to go through and deal with. And so please be in prayer. We, just so you'll know, we sent her money to buy Bibles for all the ladies that didn't have Bibles. So we sent the money. She had a contact down in the Waco area of a good price, and so she bought some Bibles for all of the ladies. And so just be in prayer for her and for that outreach in her ministry. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for prayer. And please remember to be in prayer, even though no one said. And just remember to be in prayer for each other. When you are walking by faith in the Spirit, you know you're going to have the battles, and therefore we know that each other having the battles. One other thing, I talked with Mrs. Smith today, went over and spent some time with her, and she sends her regards. And so I go to the work day. We're going to have a work day Saturday, the 28th, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to talk with her and just see what her plans were, where she was going, and what she had in mind with things. And so we talked and just feel very encouraged, so we'll get here and do a lot of work. I want to see now about putting in some grass in what I'll call the playground area, and to get that fixed up. And I don't know if we'll be able to do it Saturday, but I'd like to put in, since we don't need the parking, just put in a this white fence we have around here, maybe extend it from the border of that house across with one area that would be a gate, area that can open up but lock with a lock so people won't be driving back, and give it a nice setting through here. And then open up our church for weddings. This is a beautiful church wedding atmosphere, chapel wedding atmosphere. And then have in the foyer various things, and we're getting some out of what this church is about, some of our teaching, so that people who don't even know that we're here will begin to know that we are here. And please be in prayer in that respect. We need to get some lights on our sign of Spring Valley Bible Church. And so just be in prayer about these things we need to get done. And if you have ideas, just feel free to pop them right in there. And things that we can do to make the place look really presentable and nice, the front, the inside, that front, there are two fronts really, the front we drive in and the front we walk in, and then inside. And this place is absolutely gorgeous during Christmas and things, but let's just, if you think of anything that needs to be done or you'd like to get done, I know, man, the men's restroom needs to be taken care of, yes, I know, okay. And let's see if we can get someone over. But so bear that in mind in your prayers and thoughts. Continue to be in prayer for Mrs. Smith. She's just been a jewel. I love the woman. And she has her relationship with the Lord. I do not know all of her basic theology. And I mean basic, other than the gospel and faith in the Holy Spirit, which she definitely agrees with. And she has just been our friend. And she was there in a time of severe need, but she still is. And so just be in prayer for her and her health and her guidance and whatever she would do with the property and things like that. So please be in prayer for Mrs. Smith. Be in prayer for Jim Passmore as he continues to creep into that closer of going home. to give you an idea about Jim, I'm older than Jim for about 2 months. Okay, so he's careful how much he kids me about being his elder, because in a matter of a few months, he's right there with me. Okay, let's begin in prayer. Let's pray. So that picture, Father, is a very much passed over little statement. Let him who hears, as an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Sometimes it's just in the word, listen. Let him who has an ear hear, eye see. Father, when we pray that you will let us see, what we're praying is that as we trust your Spirit, that he will open our eyes that we might see. And that each day he will illuminate for us more and more the spiritual warfare that each of us are in and that each other is in, and to be sensitive to the fact that other members of the body of Christ are in a war, in a battle. That we may begin to fully grasp from the very beginning the statement that God is love. When we put into a comparison from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of righteousness and love, righteousness always has a way of winning over. But when we come from the tree of life, we realize that it is through your love that all victory is accomplished. It is that love that we are commanded to have toward each other. The same love that motivated you to give your son. The same love that motivated Christ to die can actually be in our homes. Can actually be when we're at work coming out from us. That same love of the cross coming out in our work, in our social life, and thirdly in the assembly. open our eyes now that we might see each time we look at these things, a greater glimpse of the total plan of God and for our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. In spite of a lot of the headlines and the lead-offs on news programs, I saw this last weekend that still the major problem as far as America's concerned is interracial problems. And the dynamite keg, the TNT keg that we sit on with the interracial problems seems to be a little bit set aside right now, and that's because most people that want to work can work and are taken into that, leading off into other interests. But the hate and the anger that resides in so many Americans in regard to race is still considered the number one problem. And people, you take something like race, there is no law that is going to prevent it. As a matter of fact, I think that this is an excellent place to see that within Galatians, that law is designed to increase sin. I think one of the primary places to see this is where we have law that says you will get along interracially, you will do this with someone regardless of their race, that it has done nothing in this country but to increase the hate, increase the tension. It has not decreased it. Integrating schools has not decreased it. All the things that law has tried to do isn't doing it. As a matter of fact, it is just simply revealing more and more hostility about race. Black, white, Jew, all kinds of things going on. But I want you to understand this is not just an American phenomenon. It's not just America. If you travel, those of you who have, and if you travel in Europe, you just travel, say, from Italy to France, just across the international border, the resentment of each country of the other, of the French, of the Italians, and the Italians of the French, and so forth. And these are just some of the kinds of things that if we look at the new commandment, this is what it's for. This is the only place that racial problems are going to be taken care of. They're going to be taken care of only when we love as Christ loved, and really in no other way. Because so often what happens is in the human realm and in the human solution is that if I want to take care of the racial problem, be aware of it, you go overboard the other way and you antagonize the problem because you want to straighten it out. That's what law does. So what we have to do is to look at what spiritual love and how spiritual love deals even in this severe problem of interracial problems. And this is why, one of the reasons. I mean, we've looked at so many times, not each time, but every now and then I like to talk with you, what's going on in Scripture with the new commandment in our daily lives. There are so many things, and we're getting ready to kind of get a feel of some prophecy study and different things that intrigue us and excite us and on and on and on. But when it comes down to where you and I live, day in and day out, husband, wife, parent, child, friends, each other, work, social life, everywhere, this is where we live. And if we figure out that the rapture is going to occur, you know, some day, way in the future, it still isn't going to resolve day in and day out problems that are going on. And these are resolved in the power of the Spirit when we put forth spiritual love. Well, we have just started moving back into our study after taking some time off for Galatians. And let's pick up right where we left off last week without even going over anything that we did last week. Open up to Romans 14:15 with me a moment. Let's just open up. And what we're doing is moving into the momentum of where we are in this study. And let's take a look so that we can continue here. Romans 14:15. Now, Romans 14:15, for if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Now, right here is where we left off. Leslie came up last week, I guess it was, and I had to laugh because as you know what we're doing right now, and I have a reason because I want to get on to something else Wednesday night, but we're doing spiritual love tonight, and then I thought I'd finish up the study on one another that we're doing on Wednesday night now, and Leslie came up and pointed it out that the one another came out of the study of spiritual love, and I had to laugh because I was trying to figure out where it did come from in my notes, and then I went home and of course everything, and right here is where we started spiritual love, was right at this point, one another, the study of one another. So we're doing spiritual love really two nights right now, and if you'll bear with that, and I say bear with me because I think it's the most important study, one another, to be sensitive of how the Spirit's going to lead us in our dealings with one another. It's not thrilling and exciting, but people go out and buy all the books and work on all this stuff. How do we get along with each other, and how do we solve that? Well, if we understand the spiritual life, spiritual love, and how the Spirit's going to lead us, that is God's solution to the things. But let's take a look at Romans 14:15 now. Here we learn the impact of spiritual love, and we're really able to see it. And that is simply stated that when you are loving as Christ loved, when there is spiritual love, you will not wrongfully hurt another believer. People, let me just tell you, you cannot wrongfully hurt another believer when you're in spiritual love. Impossible. If you are doing spiritual love, you will not wrong another person. That's why I've told you so many times, spiritual love is one of the surest ways to find out, am I in the Spirit? All you have to do is listen to what comes out of your mouth. Are those the words of spiritual love? Watch how you treat others in your family and in life, pardon the expression, on the road, on the freeway, anywhere. How you deal with other people. And you can tell whether, nobody needs to tell you whether or not you're in the spiritual life or not if you will just listen. We will not wrongfully hurt another person. So if you are hurting with your words, with your action, your husband, your wife, so on, you know you're not walking in the Spirit. You know it. It just simply won't, the spiritual love simply won't do that. And if another believer, husband or wife or so on, wrongfully hurts you, you know that they are not in the spiritual life. Therefore, what do you know? You know it isn't that specific problem that's going to have to be dealt with. What has to be dealt with is helping them, restoring them back to the spiritual life. I hope that's communicating, because there lies what we always want to deal with. Okay, here is believer A. We won't pick husband or wife. Here's believer A, and here's believer B. Believer B hurts believer A wrongfully. Believer A, just for the sake of illustration, is walking by faith in the Spirit in a Spirit-filled life. Now, they are wrongfully hurt. This believer, we know, he now knows, this believer is not in the Spirit-filled life. They lied. They did stole. Whatever it is they did. Whatever it is they did in their life, I know one thing. I know they're not filled with the Spirit. And I know that's the one thing that is essential. What they did is not the issue. Not right now. What is the issue is to restore them, help them get back into the spiritual life. And if they're in the spiritual life and you remain in the spiritual life, now you can deal with the issue between each other in the spiritual life. So it guides us in dealing with one another, even when they do not treat us correctly. So spiritual love will not wrongfully hurt another one, another believer. And when you do law, you're not going to be walking according to spiritual love. Law will hurt. Law will hurt another believer wrongfully, or it'll be right. It'll be right according to law, it'll be wrong according to spiritual life. That's going to be hard for some people to grasp and see. All right, let's see what the passage now says that we looked at. It says, if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Okay, walking according to love. This is powerful. This is how we know whether we're walking in the Spirit or not. Walking according to spiritual love. And I can tell when I'm walking according to spiritual love, when I'm not walking according to spiritual love. Now, over the years, many years, in my ministry, when I would come across this walk, I would spend the next 2 hours, and we would go through a long doctrine on walking. Some of you have been through all of that. We do it every time. I've gone back. I've taken a look from a different perspective. If I might add a spiritual perspective, but a different perspective of those passages. And it's rather interesting what you really see when you go back and you look at this whole thing of walking and spiritual love, walking in the Spirit. Let me go through some of them with you. One, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. This is what we studied. Galatians 5:16. Galatians is the primer of the spirit-filled life by faith. Walk in the Spirit. Okay. So we're to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Got to ask a question. How? How do I do that? How do I walk in the power of the Spirit? Makes a nice sermon. Makes a nice statement. But I want to know how. How do I walk in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit by faith. As you have received Him, how did we receive Him? Faith? Walk. So we receive Him by faith, we walk. Secondly, with the same momentum going, walk in faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We won't take time to look at them. Oh, we used to do that. But right now, I just want to go over it again with you. When I said again, after all that time of looking at it and studying it, both walking in these so many things, let's see really what's going on in the Scriptures. Walk in faith. All right? Faith has to have an object. What's the object of our faith? The one that God has sent. The one that God has sent, the Holy Spirit. Walk in faith. And you can see how this is going to change if I said just walk in doctrine, change the whole definition of faith, which can be done. I've taken something away from you people. If I change that definition, if I change the translation of the word from walk in faith to walk in doctrine, I change the whole thing. I've taken something away from you. It's just like the Habakkuk 2, the righteous man shall live by faith. If I change that to doctrine, I've taken it all away from you. I've taken away from you walking in the power of God the Holy Spirit. The word it is walk in faith. Walk in faith. And the object of faith is God the Holy Spirit. Three. Another simple one. Walk in truth. 1 John 3. You can look these up later. I just want to go through with you. Walk in truth. Now the question. The question. What is truth? Is truth means it's the whole Bible? Walk in truth. Okay? Now I come to the question, what is truth? Boy, I'm going to jump out here. What is truth? I'm sorry? The gospel. Thank you. I had a problem what I'm going through, if you hadn't caught it. I had a theology professor, and we were talking one day, we had lunch together. And I asked him why he didn't ask, you know, questions and all that and stuff and just on exams, does he do that? And he said, Herman, I'd be afraid of what they might say. He said, sometimes I read the questions on tests and I stand there going, where did they get that? So that's sort of a teaching type of fear. The gospel. The truth of the gospel. Walk in the truth of the gospel. Okay. That directs us. Now, what is the truth of the gospel? Not just what is the gospel. What is the fundamental truth of the gospel? Faith in the one that He sent. I will do it. That's the good news. What's the gospel? Gospel means good news. Good announcement. And the announcement is, God will do it. Trust me. The truth of the gospel is, I send my Son, trust Him. I send my Spirit, trust Him. That's the truth of the gospel. So when it says walk in truth, you walk in the truth of the gospel. Truth of the gospel is trust me. All right, let's look at another one. 4, walk in the light. 1 John 1:7. This is the light of the Holy Spirit. This is the light of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual life. 5, walk in the newness of life. Now, we know that Jesus Christ gives life, but we've looked at 3 different passages that said one other member of the Godhead gives us life. Who is it? Holy Spirit. What did we see in John? In Galatians 5? I'm just going to keep coming back to show you how fundamental Galatians is to everything. Since we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Live life. So here is the newness of life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 6:4. 6, walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy of your calling. Okay, we said it in Galatians. What member of the Godhead is used by God to call us? The Holy Spirit. Galatians 1:5-6, and Galatians 5. Same word, calling. So if we walk worthy of our calling, it means we're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:1. And then it says, walk worthy of the Lord. Whoa, Colossians 2:6. Walking in the advocate that he has sent. And the advocate that Jesus Christ has sent is the Holy Spirit. 8 is from Colossians 4:5. Conduct or walk yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Now, to what is the wisdom that is referred to? In context, if we looked at it, spiritual love. And again, where does spiritual love come from? The Holy Spirit. So again, all of these, I've come to realize, all of these are telling us the same thing. They're not giving you different dimensions of the Christian life and the Christian walk. They're just saying the same thing in different ways, so no matter how you get there, you'll realize it's by faith in the Holy Spirit. So, our passage in Romans 14:15 deals with interrelationship. Deals with hurting another believer, interrelating with another believer. People, let's ask ourselves a question. How am I going to know? What is going to guide me in a human relationship? What's going to guide me? How do I know these things? How can I know all these things? So we come to the question, if because of food your brother's hurt, to no longer walk, I don't know that if I do this, it's going to hurt and do that. So what we want to do is we want to get up a lot of laws. And you never do this, 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 and all this, and work on law. Work on rules. But people, God has given us something so much lighter and easier. Just walk in the Spirit. People, you have to come to the point, do you really trust the Holy Spirit? And I've come to that point. I've crossed it now. And it sounds wrong and weird to a lot of Christians. But I thoroughly trust the Spirit. If I am with the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and Wes Pell and I go to eat, that the Holy Spirit will guide me in not saying anything that will offend him or doing anything that will wrongfully hurt him. It's not a matter of me sitting there, well, I got to watch what I say, I got to watch what I eat, I got to watch what I do, I got to watch everything, because I don't want to offend this other believer. People, you don't go through the Christian life that way. God help the husband and wife who have to stay on eggshells in their relationships. God, what a horrible way to have to live. Single life's got to be better than that. But it doesn't have to be that way in a married life. And it doesn't have to be that way in a Christian life. You don't have to go along with a Torah or a law. So, you know, well, I don't want to say this because that'll do that. And I don't want to do that because that'll do that. I don't want to, you know, I'm going to walk in the power of the Spirit. and trust Him to pour spiritual love in me. And we walk our life. And we go that way. So you've got your way of dealing with in a relationship and what's going to guide you. He's filled with the Spirit. He has the Spirit in Him. I have the Spirit. So therefore, the Spirit knows what's going to offend Him. I trust the Spirit to know that. I trust Him. And I trust Him to guide me. Well, what happens if something does happen? Well, we got a lot of answers. A lot of things we can work on this. We're all going to miss it sometime. But who's also to say, if something doesn't come up like that, for Him to come? Another believer to say, you know, well, you said this, you did this, you did, and wow, okay, let's talk about that. Because I said, well, I know that I was walking in the Spirit right then. So, boy, that hurt Him. Why did that happen? And so He comes and talks to me about it, and now we've opened up a whole wonderful conversation. And this has happened, by the way. And it's a very wonderful thing when this kind of thing does happen. Your first thought is, oh, man, I guess I wasn't wrong. Well, wait a minute. Maybe what you did offended them, but it wasn't wrong because now they're going to come talk and they're going to work their way through on a very important issue in their life. So, again, we just trust Him. I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself and my own use of doctrine. I trust the Spirit who is alive and powerful inside of me to guide me. What's going to guide us in our relationships with each other? God, the Holy Spirit, is going to guide us. Now, for if because of fear, verse 15, your brother, this is another believer, is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. You're no longer walking according to spiritual love. You are no longer walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And people, let me tell you something. When you're not walking in the power of the Spirit, you will wrongfully hurt others. Now, you notice I keep repeating the word wrongfully, because sometimes we might have to hurt. We might hurt another believer. And that is like Paul, if you remember in our Romans 7 study, he did bring them to sorrow. But it wasn't to try to put them down or anything. It was to get them to come, to be restored. So we're talking about a wrongfully hurt. So when you're not walking in the Spirit, you will wrongfully hurt others. You will sin. You will mistreat them. You will be inconsiderate of them. And when another believer sins against you and hurts you instead of spiritual love, you'll, one, either go to law, or you will start sinning against them in another way. You're going to bite and devour one another, as we saw in Galatians. There are a lot of things that happen between human relationships. We start biting and devour if we're not walking in spiritual love. So you're not walking according to love, you will wrongfully hurt others. So if I'm walking by faith towards God the Holy Spirit, what He's going to pour out of me is spiritual love towards this other believer, or believers, whichever the case may be. However, how intimate, husband, wife, children, family, friends, so forth. Spiritual love is going to guide in the relationship. And what a lot of people like to say is, and this is true, I love God, but I don't love that person. No. People, you lie and you deceive yourself. It's one of the whole primary basis of 1 John. You say you love God and you have hate in your soul toward another believer. You're a liar. You deceive yourself. You cannot have love toward God and not have that same love toward another believer. And you can sit there and contemplate that, meditate on that, and resent it. But read 1 John. You cannot say, my relationship with God, I love God and all that, but boy, this believer over here, well, I tell you what, I'm angry, man, no, I'm sorry, you don't love God. You don't have the same love toward this believer as you have toward God. You don't love God. You're deceiving yourself. And it's a nice little cop-out for you. But Scripture is very clear, you don't. So once we stop, and we could spend time now going through the Bible, but once we stop walking in faith and trusting God, people, we're going to cause so many things to happen in other people's lives. We could go from Eve and the relationship with Adam. Once you stop trusting God, he did with Adam, Abraham did in regard to Sarah, denied that she was his wife when they went to Egypt, get involved with Operation Hagar. We just keep going on and on and on, the murders and the problems. David stopped trusting God, and Bathsheba occurs. He murders Uriah. All the things that start happening. I don't just look at your life and say, man, I'm not trusting him here. Because I am hurting, wrongfully hurting another believer. So we can tell in our own soul. When we're walking in spiritual love, we will not hurt. In fact, we will actually edify and build up one another. When we're not, we are going to hurt one another. So, for if because of food, your brother is, the believer is hurt. In other words, it's just the opposite of edifying them. It's the opposite of restoring them. It is the opposite of building them up. You hurt their spiritual life. You are no longer walking according to love. Now, look at the last phrase. This is very, very important in your relationship with other believers. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Now, I want to tell you what the arrogant believer says. The arrogant believer says this. They've got to take care of their own soul. It's not my responsibility. That's pain. Am I my brother's keeper? That's a resounding question for Christians from the very first. And a lot of Christians have developed the idea, you've got to walk in your own spiritual strength and all of that, and boy, you can't let me disrupt you. You can't, and boy, if a believer lets another believer hurt them and all this, and they're the ones wrong. And they cop out of this responsibility of walking in the Spirit. It makes a very good call. I'm not responsible. You're going to have to protect yourself. And if you get hurt because, boy, that's your problem. No, I'm sorry. Read the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Now let's take a look at this. So this is an important word. Do not destroy. How can I destroy another believer? This is very close, and we don't have to turn there because I think most of you are still in tune with it. Galatians 5:15. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. That's destroying. That's a picture of it. We can do that to one another. You bite with the law, boom. They bite back, devour, and pretty soon you're doing what? You're consuming each other. You're doing it with law. Is tearing each other up. So we can hurt one another. The impact of spiritual love may at rare times bring sorrow, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 7, but spiritual love does not destroy. You can tell the work of the flesh because people, the work of the flesh loves to destroy. The work of love loves to destroy. The work of the law is to destroy. That's what the law does. What does the law do? The law kills. Y'all understand that? The law kills. The law destroys. It's designed to. It's not designed to give life. It can't give life. It will destroy. Now, the word here for destroy in the Greek means to destroy, to waste. It's a compound verb, and it means it has the force of totally or just the whole person being destroyed away. In fact, if I just gave it a very literal translation, destroy away. You can always tell the work of Satan, people, because the work of Satan destroys. He loves to take life. He loves to take property. He loves to take things. Study, as we've studied Job, chapter 2, of the first book of the Bible, the first book written, which introduces the whole flow of history. What was his passage? Let me go down and take from him. Let me go down and destroy things that belong to him. Let me take his possessions. What is there in Revelation? The warning to the church of Smyrna. You're going to suffer 10 days. Now we'll study some, go back a little bit and look at some of this in Revelation. But what is the idea? going to be thrown into prison. What did we say in Hebrews chapter 11? They come in and they take away all your possessions. This is the way law works. This is the way Satan loves to work. And why does that shouldn't surprise us? Because who is the biggest proponent of law? Satan. So here's law. Law will destroy. Law is designed to do that. Get that in your mind. Now, if you are a proponent of law, Satan, then guess what? Satan is characterized by what? By destroying, taking away, doing all of those things. That shouldn't surprise us. What business is God in? God is in the business of love with what? Love builds up. Love gives. Love restores. So we can tell the work of Satan. See, what law does, what Satan does, what it never builds, only dismantles, only destroys, whereas what does God give? What God gives is life. This is what God gives. The law is going to destroy, but what love is going to give, love is going to give life, people. It's going to give life to the marriage. It's going to give life to the relationship. It's going to give life to family. It's going to give life to the church. It's going to give life to wherever you are. This is what spiritual love gives. Whereas the law is designed to destroy. It's designed to take away. Someone may say, well, isn't that what sin does? What's the fruit of law? The fruit of law is sin. We saw that in Galatians. And yes, I would agree with them. I'm just going back to even a more a point of its origin. Because sin is a result of trying to do law. And so you do law, sin is going to destroy. This is spiritual love will do. It's going to give life. It's going to give life to one another. So whatever is done out of law, whatever is done out of the motivation of law is not profitable, does not edify. But you can tell when spiritual love is there because it edifies, it's profitable, it builds. Let's take a look at what's referred to here, because this is greatly debated. A lot of people use this to show you can lose your salvation, this kind of word. How does one believer destroy another? Okay, let me just start off by saying it does not mean to destroy as in one's eternal life. You cannot destroy another believer's eternal life. No one can. They can't even do that to themselves. So we're not talking about the loss of eternal life. Talk about destroy. We're talking about life. Okay? If I'm not talking about eternal life, because that's locked in, there's only one other life to talk about left in, and that is the spiritual life. So what I can do, I can destroy another believer. Spiritual life. Christians can so hurt other Christians that you destroy their spiritual life, their desire to even have them. The Hades with it all, I'm walking. I want no part of God. I want no part of you. I want no part of the church. I want no part of anything. Spiritual life. Destroyed. What's our whole study in the one another? The whole study is this is our whole focus. Restore, edify, build up. All the things we study, a person's spiritual life. I've come to the conclusion. Talking to Chris the other night. I've come to the conclusion. For a long time in my life, I've been very highly political. Started off in high school. I used to go around in high schools in Houston and start get involved in presidential candidates. Even though I couldn't vote. And just all kinds of stuff. And then all through. Where I am today is, in the truest of sense, I have nothing to offer the world. But Christ crucified, I have nothing to offer the Christian but to walk in the Spirit. People, I don't care if you get people to become capitalists and to be moral in society without the spirit-filled life, it's nothing. And that has become a reality, not just words with me. I have nothing except the spiritual. And that's all that I have. What about this problem in society? What about that problem in society? You won't like my answer. Well, yeah, but don't you think we need to have law to keep society orderly? Doesn't matter. Look where it's going. The more you try to have law and have it orderly, it's going to collapse. I'm sorry, I have only one thing. In my lifetime on earth, where I am now, I have only one thing for the unbeliever, Christ. For the believer, the Holy Spirit. And if you don't want it, I'm sorry, that's all I got. I don't have lectures on how great capitalism is and how horrible communism is. Don't have that. I don't have any of those kind of lectures anymore. Because I don't find any scripture. So all that we really have here is life. And the life that we have to offer is a spiritual life. Now, does that mean, don't misunderstand that, mean we don't care about someone's needs? Oh, yes, John makes it very clear. If you say you do spiritual love and you see your brother in need and you just walk by and say, have faith, brother, I'm sorry, you don't have spiritual love. You got nonsense, self-deception. But what I'm trying to talk about is an offering to the world what we have. And what we have really is only spiritual love. Okay, so if we're not talking about eternal life, we're talking about one's spiritual life. Take away another believer's spiritual life. Take away another believer's service with God, fellowship with God, and service of God. Take away those two things. To destroy a believer, you take away their fellowship with God, and you take away their service, their usefulness in the plan of God, the spiritual gift principle, and all these other things. So this is all that we have. Instead of kindness, of love that creates an environment conducive to what? Conducive to the spiritual life. Conducive to restoring the fellowship and being used of God. Instead of doing that, what can you do? You can actually destroy another believer. You can do that. And I want to tell you something. Many Christians walk away very proud when they do it. Look what I have done for God. Look what I have done for God. I have gotten rid of this no good Christian. And they're very proud of it. This is why it's very easy for me to see however our belief is about the rapture of the church, born again believers, at the time when the Antichrist comes, are going to turn in other Christians, hurt, persecute other Christians. It's very easy for me to understand how that's going to happen and be very proud that you're doing it. Believers, you can hurt another believer. Don't walk away thinking you've just done a great favor to God. But believers can do that. This is what we're dealing with in this passage. Now let's notice just a few passages on destroying. First of all, turn to 2 Corinthians 2. Let's just quickly, I'm going to go through these quickly. They may raise more questions in some cases than they solve, but if you'll just follow through, we're looking at one major point in our flow here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, the interesting thing about what we're going to look at to set the groundwork for you is that in Corinth, there was a believer, a Gentile believer, who was involved in incest. This Gentile believer was accepted by the other Gentile believers as this is okay. Paul wrote and said, no, that is not what will be done in the spirit life. So, with no more than that, what they did was they kicked him out and did great harm to this believer and were very self-righteous. They went from one extreme to the other. One extreme, totally accepted. Not no problem. To the other extreme, you're out of here. Neither way were they filled with the spirit of what they did. And I'll show you this. In neither way. But I want to show you what's going on. So, Paul now has to write again. You know, I always like Christians, and I've run into this a lot, especially in the last 8 years. in dealing with believers who sin. And all of them, oh, well, what about the infested believer? You know, Paul said they had him kicked him out. Okay, do you know what happened to him in 2 Corinthians? Well, no. Well, then I encourage you to go read 2 Corinthians and put the whole thing in perspective, because Paul lets them have it now for the way they treated him, and that's what I just want to go by in this ideal of destroying another believer. Chapter 2, verse 6. Sufficient for such a one is the punishment which was inflicted by the majority. Now, the word for punishment is used only here in all of the New Testament. And by using it, Paul lets us know that these Corinthian believers are self-righteous and they've gone to law. It's a word that is related with law. It's a legal term. It's not the grace term of the discipline that God gives us in Hebrews 12. So Paul is giving us a clue to what is going on here. They saw something wrong and decided to go to law and handle it and punish people. Let me just give you a little hint. God does not punish you. I challenge anyone to show me in Scripture God punishes you. God disciplines us to get us back into the spiritual life. Don't get this image of your God as this God that's going to stand up there and punish. You do bad, I'm going to get you. You do good, I'm going to bless you. God help you. If you get it in your own soul and you put that on other Christians, that is not our God. Okay. Verse 7. So that on the contrary, or as the NIV has, instead of punishment and separation, continuing to try to punish him under law, instead of that, you should rather, you see the instead? So that on the contrary, very strong, or instead of punishment according to law, you should rather forgive and comfort him. People, there's the action of spiritual love. There's what spiritual love will do. Now look what it says. Lest somehow such a one be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Okay, there's our ideal of destroying, overwhelmed. This is the concept we're looking at of destroying another believer. The arrogant, self-righteous Corinthians who know some doctrine and they know just enough how to use the law and hurt. Overwhelmed, what we have here is the aorist passive subjunctive. It's of a compound, and the compound is overwhelmed. And the compound is a pino, and pino means to drink, plus the prefix tata means down, and the picture of the word is to drink down, to swallow up, to gulp entirely, as devour. The ideal of total extinction as a result of being devoured or swallowed up by other believers. This is what they've done. Be overwhelmed. You can do that. And most Christians, when they do it, are very proud that they've hurt another believer that way. That's not spiritual love in action. I can't leave it without noting verse 8. Wherefore, I urge you, reaffirm your love for him. The word in the Greek is grow. I almost would like to take you to some Greek here, but I think you can see it without getting involved too much in the Greek. The word means to make authoritative. It means to confirm or validate. It means to decide in favor of spiritual life. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm. Reaffirm means to decide in favor of. It means to let this be the authority, not the law. Don't let law be the authority, people. This is what he's saying right here. What should be an authority is spiritual love. What God is seeking is reconciliation. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. Isn't it interesting, the Corinthians keep coming up in this deal. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 54. You give you some ideas of the destroying. But when this perishable will I put on in the imperishable, and this mortal will I put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. death destroys. It's going to destroy the body. That's what it's designed to do. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Give me a moment. Hebrews chapter 11. All right, look with me at verse 29. Hebrews 11:29. By faith they passed through, the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. That word drowned, that's our word swallowed up. That means to be destroyed. Look at 1 Peter. This is an important one. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. This is our work, the spiritual sense. And this is what we saw from Job. This is what he seeks to do. He seeks to find Satan, law, seeks to find a believer, generally one walking in faith or in the battle of faith, and seeks to devour them, that is to destroy them, destroy their spiritual life, take them out. People, just look at what you do and the way you treat other Christians, no matter who or what they are. What is your objective? Let's go for the jugular, immorality of incest. That's not only immorality, that is impurity. That is not even natural sex, that's abnormal. Boy, let's kill him. Get rid of him. Can't have him around here. What does Paul say? The whole point is to restore them to relationship with the Holy Spirit. What if they won't be restored? What if they refuse? Send people to be in an entirely different situation. But if they will be restored, this is what our objective is, and this is never our objective to destroy. This is never the objective of spiritual love, to destroy someone. The objective of spiritual love is to restore. Do not destroy with food him for whom Christ died. In other words, those for whom Christ died on the cross for, in the body of Christ, we're going to be with them forever. Don't find a pleasure in destroying them. Okay, we will resume right here next Tuesday night. Any questions? David's with us tonight. Any questions? Thank you. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the fun, the enjoyment, as we've taken some time going through some scripture and getting an insight, Father, and how we're led in dealing with one another. Father, we can get on each other's nerves even when we're not even aware, and certainly sin. And so many things, Father, and you have given to us the Spirit to pour into us your life, that this is the way we might deal with one another. We praise you, Father, for the God you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen.